Okay, we're starting here on the top of Nun Tet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is still discussing the issue as to whether the Gidulim that grow from an Ikar and the Gidulim are different than the Ikar, what impact do these Gidulim have on the Ikar? Can they be Mevatel the Ikar? Is the Ikar Mevatel them? Or do they stand independently? And we have gone through different Memrot of Amoraim, and now we're going through different Tanaic works, looking at Mishnayot or Braitot, to determine what seems to be the position of these different Mishnayot and Braitot. So, yesterday we came to the conclusion that Shvi'it might be different, and therefore the din with regards to Shvi'it is governed by a different rule than anything else. And we saw that because it says by Shvi'it it's unique, and the fact that the Iser derives from the Karka, and we gave all the explanations yesterday what that means, that it derives from the Karka, and therefore it is also, batel min hakarka. The karka can contribute to the bitul, and that's why the gidulim can override the heter. And that's why if the gidulim grow during Shvi'it, they will override the ikar, that is an ikar from the shishit that was of heter. On the other hand, when it comes to items like ma'aser, over there, the karka is not the goreim. As we saw yesterday, we ended up, it's the digun, that is the goreim. And over there, we might have a different view or a different opinion with regards to whether it's mivatel or not mivatelet. Then we ask a question now. Meitiv Rami Bar Chama. We finally get to our Mishnah, and we're going to ask for our Mishnah. Kunam perut ha'ilu alai. Kunam heim alpi, kunam heim lepi, asur b'chilufehem u'b'gidulehem. So in the case where he takes the neder and he states elu, then these items where he specifies or delineates the items, not only are the items themselves asurim, but so are their exchange, as well as their gidulim, items that grow out of them. On the other hand, if he says she'eni ochel, v'she'eni to'em, if he uses the lashon that specifies achilan ti'ima, then mutar b'chilufehen u'b'gidulehem. Then you have only been oser, the object itself. And we saw the machloket Tosafot in the Ran with regards to how the lishonot of here play out. Tosafot focuses on she'eni ochel v'she'eni to'em as being the driving force here, where you're limiting the nature of the neder, and that's why it doesn't expand to chilufeim and gidulim. Then the Ran focused on the elu and the fact that you are specifying or delineating the object, so it looks like hekdesh, therefore it expands to affect chilufeim and gidulim, which isn't true when you say sheni ochel, sheni toem, which is much more of a limited type of neder. So that was our Mishnah, and the difference between whether you use konam perot ha'ilu alai versus if you use sheni ochel v'sheni toem. Then we had a qualifying statement in the Mishnah, that is, b'davar shezaro kala. That's only true when the seed or the item planted disappears in the growth. Avo b'davar she'ein zaro kala, but if something where, when you plant it, it still remains intact, like a bulb, like an onion, potato, garlic, afilu gidilei gidulim asurim. Not only is the first derivative asur, but even the second derivative is asur. So here you have a case where he takes a neder, and the neder does not include the gidulim, that she'eni ochel v'she'eni to'em. The only thing that is asur is the ikar, the object itself. You took a neder, and you only restricted the object, not any exchange of that object, not any growth from that object, and then you plant that item. And when you plant that item, the Mishnah says that gidulim, those things that grow from it are asurim, and even things that grow from that which grew from it are also asurim. So you see over here that the ikar has enough strength to, first of all, it remains intact, the ikar, that it's asur, but it also makes the gidulim asurim and the gidulim asurim. Now, who this question is on is unclear. Rashi says over here, it's kasha the Rabbi Ami. It's a question on the position of Rabbi Ami. On the other hand, you can see in the Ran, he says the Rabbi Yanai parich. This is a question on Rabbi Yanai. So, if you think it's a question on Rabbi Yanai, that goes back to Daf Nun Zayin Amud Bet, where Amar Rabbi Yanai, Batzal Shel Truma, Shinata'o, V'rabu Gidulav Al Ikaro Mutar. But if you have an onion of Truma that you planted, and then the Gidulim grow, they see the Ikar, then it's Mutar. Not Mutar, it's no longer Truma, it becomes Tevil now. But you see over there that the Gidulim have the ability to override the Ikar, and even more importantly, they do not look like the Ikar. Just because they grew from the Ikar doesn't make them like the Ikar. So the question is on the Memra of Rabbi Yanai from our Mishnah, because here we have a Tanaic work that seems to indicate otherwise. Rashi says that the question really is on Rabbi Ami and not necessarily on Rabbi Yanai. And that's based on to the Kamei de Rabbi Ami. He came before Rabbi Ami and he didn't have an answer. Then he came back afterwards again to Rabbi Ami and he had an answer from this. You have a litra of bitzalim that he already took off Trumot Masrot, vizara, and then he plants it, mitaseret lefi kula. Then the masrot are taken off of the entirety of the item. Amotan gidulim ivatlim ikar. You see from that that the gidulim, which are chayavim in tevel, affect the ikar and override the ikar. So that's what Rashi says the question is on that position. The possibility is what you're suggesting, that is, it's a question on either one of these parties, or more broadly, the question is on anyone who is of the shita or of the opinion that the gidulim have the ability to override the ikar. So anybody who has that opinion, that's who the question is on. I mean, that's a broader question. So anybody who has the alternate opinion, like Rabbi Anai, the question will be on their position. If you say that, then when you say Meitiv Rabbi Bar Chama, the Meitiv Rabbi Bar Chama is going back on these earlier positions. It's asking a question on these earlier positions. But that means that the Gemara now, in a sense, is a non sequitur, because the Gemara just ended off with this distinction between Shvi'it and Maaser. I would say by Shvi'it, it is Mivatel, whereas by Maaser, it is not Mivatel. Because Shvi'it has this special din by Karka, and that's not true by Maaser. So now, all of a sudden, you ask a question from our Mishnah, which is a question of Konam. Well, when it comes to Nidarim should be the same as Maaser, because they don't have their Isur derived from the Karka, and therefore they should not be Batel. So you should have an easy answer to the question over here, which is, this isn't Shvi'it. The din where we say that the Gidulim are Mevatel the Ikar, that's only true when we're talking about Shemitah, or Shvi'it. Over here, we're talking about Konamot, or we're like before, we say we're talking about Maser, there we do not say that the Gidulim override the Ikar, and that would have been an easy answer to this question, and the question wouldn't have arisen at all. But then you have to say over here one of two things. You either have to say that the Gemara rejected the answer that we gave before, that there's a difference, Shaina Shvi'i Tov Yisro Ade Karka, Betela Tal Nami Ade Karka, that we're rejecting that answer. And now the Gemara is going back to square one and saying, wait a minute, how could it be that we have people with the opinion that the Gidulim are Mevatel the Ikar? We have a Mishnah that seems to state otherwise. And how do we reconcile with that? So therefore the question then would presuppose that the answer that we gave before is incorrect, and now we're going back to the basics. Does this work or does it not work? So that's the way some of the Rishonim pose the question, as ignoring the previous statement, and as if, again, like it's a non sequitur, and it has nothing to do with the previous Gemara. Others suggest that ain't Ochanami. The Gemara could have given the answer, like it did by Maaser, that by Maaser, digunu the kagarim lay. And since it's the digun that caused it, and not the karko, that's why it's not batel. And the Gemara could answer the same thing by konamot. Ein Ochanami could have given this answer, but it had a better answer. And that's why it didn't give this answer. The Tosafot over here answered that question by saying, Hello, shvami na, digdulim lo mevatlim the ikar, hilka. Haikar mit pashet begidulim. Ve'asurim itam ikar. The gidulim derive from the ikar. And that isur now permeates all of them. Bikar chashuv. Venu batel, and the ikar remains as a significant item. It's not batel. Unhid vaday de enu matira yidei karka kamo shvi'it. And certainly here, there's no heter yidei karka like shvi'it mikomakom. Domi like yidei karka teiro. It's similar to the case of shvi'it. Below shayach lishnuy digunu de kagorimle. It's not like the case of maser where you require digun, you require a significant act in order to make it chayav or to change its status. So Tosafot says that it may not be like Shvi'it, but it's certainly not like Maaser. Since it's not like Maaser, we're going to say that it's similar to Shvi'it in its nature. And that's the question that's being posed over here. Now, the Rosh, l'shitato, takes that even a step further and suggests this is similar to the case of Shvi'it and not similar to the case of Maaser. If you remember yesterday, the Rosh distinguished between something that is Bekarka, like Shvi'it, and Maaser, which is Digun. Something that's in the karka like Shvi'it all happens memela by itself. You leave it, you planted it on the sixth year, and then you leave it in the ground to the seventh year. And all the mixing happens by itself. And that's why the tarovet is batel, because it all grows by itself and is all mixed together. On the other hand, when it comes to maser, you have to actively engage, be a daim, in order to do something over here. You have to take off and be mafrish the masrot. You have to make it into a kri. You have to plant it in order for it to go. The Hosafata Heter Isur that happens is all Al Yedei, your Yadayim and your intervention. So he says that Konamot look a lot more like Shvi'it than they do like Maaser. And the Rosh is over here, Hilkach. Tama Ikar mitpashet bigdulim v'akol asur. Unihi delo dami l'shvi'it gamre. It's not exactly like Shvi'it. Disurayu talui b'karka. Because over there it's talui b'karka and Konamot are not talui b'karka. Mikom makom tarovet hi memeilo. Nevertheless, the tarovet, the mixing that happens here, all happens by itself. Da'edei gidulav mitarvim yachad me'atzman. It's because once it's growing, the gidulim grow without any attachment to the ikar, and you don't have to do anything about that. It'll grow by itself. That there's no isur as long as it's attached to the ground, until you process it and bring it to the point where it's chayav, it won't be chayav. And therefore, maser is not relevant in the case of bitul because it involves so much human intervention that it won't be batel, it's not considered to be mi'urav. So what the Rosh suggests is that our case of konamot sits somewhere between shvi'it and ma'aser, but closer to shvi'it. And just like shvi'it, it happens by itself, so over here by konamot, it happens by itself. When you plant the ikar in the ground, you're just planting an item that you made asur ba'ana'a, that's it. Then the gidulim start to grow by themselves, and they come out, you're not making the tarovet, the tarovet's happening by itself. And that's why it's like Shvi'it, and that's why it should be Batel. So that's what the Gemara's question, according to the Rosh, behind the scenes, the Gemara's question over here is, this is exactly like Shvi'it, and it happens b'meila, and if that's the case, then it's Gidulim should be Batel the Ikar, and why isn't that the case over here? Okay, so in this question here, we have a spectrum of opinions. We have some opinions that are saying that we're ignoring the previous Gemara entirely, and saying that, forget that answer, we want to know fundamentally whether the Gidulim are Batel the Ikar or not. We have the Rosh on the other side who's saying this follows through on the Gemara. The whole question is from the previous Gemara. This looks exactly like Shvi'it. And therefore, why isn't it Batel like Shvi'it? Again, then we had the middle type positions who say that, you know, Hanami, they could have given an answer that this is like more like Maser than Shvi'it. But the Gemara had an alternate answer and therefore it takes a different path over here. Amar Rabbi Abba, shiny konamot. Konamot are different. Hoil, be by Mitchell Alayu. So this is something that we discussed back on Daf Nun Bet with regards to the Mishnah there. And over there, they had the Machloket Rishonim as to why are Konamot or Nidarim a Davar Shieshlo Matirin. And everybody quoted the Yerushalmi as well as the Gemara here on Daf Nun Tet. The Gemara on Daf Nun Tet in the Bavli makes it clear that Konamot are considered to be a Davar Shieshlo Matirim. Because if you want, you can have Hatarat Nidarim. If you have Hatarat Nidarim, you can eliminate the Isur over here. And if you can eliminate the Isur, then it becomes like a Davar Shiesh Lo Matirim. Ve'in Batel Barov. And therefore it's not Batel Barov, because we said before, Davar Shiesh Lo Matirim, Ilu Be'elef Enu Batel. It's not Batel Gamre. So the reason that the Konamot, the Gidulim over here, are not successful being Mevatel the Ikar, or actually they become like the Ikar, is because of the fact that it's a Davar Shiesh Lo Matirim. And since it's a Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin, therefore it's not Batel. And independent of the question of Gidulim and Ikar, we have a separate problem here that we're talking about, Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin. Now, it's interesting, a couple of things to note over here. The first of which is, it doesn't say Bahavalu Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin, it says Ki Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin, it has the Kafa Dimyon. The Kafa Dimyon indicating that it's not really Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin, but it looks like a Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin. And we'll see in a second why in Gemara a little bit more about this. But the way that it is formulated over here, you still require a certain amount of human intervention in order to be Matirit. Generally, when we talk about Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin, it's something that has a time frame. And when the time frame expires, it automatically becomes Heter. By Nidarim, that's not the case. A Neder can be in effect forever. And then you can be Matir the Neder. And then stop it. But by stopping it, you intervene to stop it. And we discussed back in Daf Nun Bet Amud Aleph, that actually might be the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam says a similar language, that it's like Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin. And over there, the Kesef Mishnah and the Keren Ora both say that they think that the Rambam believes that Nidarim are not a Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin. They don't, your classic case of Davar Shiesh Lo Matirin, because they don't automatically happen. It requires some intervention. Now it's different. Then, we'll see, Truma or other items where you need to be very actively involved and you need to make decisions. Over here, Hatarat Nidarim is almost a given that if you take a neder, you're going to have Hatarat Nidarim, and we'll see why in a second. So based on that, they use the Kaf of Demyon, which says it's Kedavar Sheish Lamaterim. Very Truma. What about Truma? Di Bati Mitchell Alai, you have the ability to give Matir Neder. Giving of Truma and giving of Hekdesh is similar to the taking of a neder. And if a person wants to get Hatara for that, they can go to the Chacham and get a Hatara for their Truma or get a Hatara for their Hekdesh. Ubat Le Berov. And they do have Bittul associated with them. If you're telling me that when you can have Petach Leneder or Hatarat Nidarim, that makes it into Devar Sheishlo Matirim, Truma should also be a Devar Sheishlo Matirim. And if it's a Devar Sheishlo Matirim, it shouldn't be Batel at all. Yet, we say that it is Batel Berov. The giving of Truma and Hekdesh is a commitment. And since you're committing, and it's through Dibur, it looks very similar to a Neder. And so just like a Neder, you can go to the Chacham to get a Petach Leneder and unwind it to a Tarat Nidarim, so too by Truma and Hekdesh, since they're functioning in the same way as a verbal commitment that changes the status of the object, you can also go to the Chacham and get Hatara for that, or do a She'ila on the commitment to give the Truma or the commitment to Kodoshim. And the Gemara says, well, how could you say that over there by Truma, we say it's Batel Berov? It's not. Sa'at Truma Tmea, Shnafla Lepachot Mimea Chulin. If you have a Sa'av Truma Tmea that falls into less than 100 of Chulin, Tera cave. It has to rot. As the Rosh points out over here, in Zoy Lashona Mishnah. That's not a direct quote from the Mishnah. Derech HaShas LeKatsera Mishnah. That many times the Shas, the Gemara will summarize the Mishnah. Maybe Mashu Tzarech Mimeno. And just brings what it wants from it. Even though it's not exact quote from it, it gives you the gist of the Mishnah, even though it's not quoting it directly. Ha? What would you infer from this? The Me'a Taleh. That if it does fall into 100, it would be Batel. So you see, Truma is Batel. Now, if Truma is Batel, it clearly can't be Davar, the Yesh Lo Matirim, because Davar Yesh Lo Matirim is Afilu Be'elafeinu Batel. So it's clear that, number one, we believe that with regards to Truma, it is not a Davar Yesh Lo Matirim. Number two is, well, if Truma looks exactly like Konamot in Nidarim, then how come Truma is not considered to be a Davar Yesh Lo Matirim, and Konamot are considered to be a Davar Sheish lo matirim? We have to distinguish or create some difference between them, or we're wrong about the konamot. And that's the Gemara's question over here. Now, the Ron points over here that you could have asked the question from Rabbi Yanai, say the gidulim alinoto. Same Rabbi Yanai that we had the question on from our Mishnah over here, that Rabbi Yanai says that by truma, the gidulim can override the ikar and be mivatel the ikar. So then you could have brought Rabbi Yanai here as the proof to the fact that we do say bitul by truma, despite the fact that it looks like a davar sheish lo matirin, based on what we said by konamot, or what we said about a neder. So the Ron says that the reason the Gemara didn't bring Rabbi Yanai as the proof to this, but rather brought the Mishnah, is first of all, it's a Mishnah. We always prefer a Mishnah over a memra of Amoraim. As well as the fact, you could have asked why Rabbi Yanai said that, in the same answer the Gemara is about to give over here, which is that the Gemara could have answered that he owned it, that he actually owned the Truma, and it's not a normal case of Bitul where he gave it to the Kohen. In general, we're talking about Bitul or changing the Truma is because he made it to Truma, and now he's giving that Truma to the Kohen, and he wants to reverse what he did. On the other hand, there's a possibility that a person inherited Truma. He could have inherited Truma from his grandfather. His maternal grandfather could have been a Kohen, his mother's father, and has passed away, and now he's inheriting the Truma from his grandfather, the Kohen. And in doing that, he never was mafrish the Trumot. So there'd be nothing to talk about in terms of Atarat Nidarim. And so maybe, that's what the Ran says, the case of Rabbi Yanai is a case where there is no Yesh Lo Matirin. And since the Gemara could have answered that, it doesn't bring the proof from Rabbi Yanai, but rather brings the proof from the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says over here, if you have an item that is less than 100 to 1, it is not batel. So in the case of Trumat Me'ah, if you have one Sa'av Trumat Me'ah, you don't have 100 Chulin Keneged, that Trumat Me'ah, then the whole Tarovet becomes Asur. Now, that's because Trumat Me'ah is Asur Ba'achila. Trumat Ohara can be eaten by the Kohen. Trumat Me'ah may not be eaten by the Kohen. Now, it is true that Trumat Me'ah could be used for Hesek. It could be used to be burnt or used for fire or oil. So why don't we just say now that the Kohen should just burn the whole thing? You should be able to give it to the Kohen and let the Kohen utilize it for Trumat Tmeah, as equivalent of Trumat Tmeah. So the Ran says over here, the reason that we don't say that is, number one, it's not Batel, and therefore you can't eat it. So what's the possibility that he's going to utilize it as Trumat Tmeah for Hesek? We said that Shema Yavoli De Takala. There's a big risk that he will have a Takala with this, or something could go awry with this, because of the fact that it's sitting around. It's sitting around for a duration, because you don't use it up all at once. It's going to take Yayim time to utilize it. It's a mixture of Chulin and Trumat Tmeah. And there is a high likelihood that you're going to get into trouble, or someone's going to eat it instead of it getting burnt. So based on that, the Mishnah says, Terakev, it should rot, or that it's not usable at all. But now we see clearly from this Mishnah that we quoted that the Bitul of Trumah is 100 to 1. Yet, we just said before that with regards to Trumah, Batil Barov. What is Rov relevant over here if the Bitul of Trumah is 100 to 1? So again, the Shita Mekubetz, it suggests that the reason is because at a Doraita level, Trumah is Batel Berov. And here we're talking about the rabbinic institution that's 100 to 1. Gro over here rejects that Shita of the Shita Mekubetz and says it makes no sense. Because the Din of Davar Sheyesh Lo Materin is already a Din de Rabbanon. So if you're already imposing a Din de Rabbanon of Davar Sheyesh Lo Materin, it means we're definitely talking on a rabbinical level. Because if you're talking at a Doraita level, then Davar Sheyesh Lo Materin is not even relevant. And then it would be Batel Barov because there's nothing impeding it. If you're already saying that the problem here is Davar Sheyesh Lo Materin, that already means you're dealing on a rabbinic level. Once you're dealing on a rabbinic level, then the Bitul is 100 to 1. Therefore, the Gro over here eliminates the word Rov from the Girsa. He says, leave out the word Rov. He says, instead of saying Batle Barov, he just says Ubatle, that they are Batel, and leaves out the word Rov. Others explain or try to avoid the problem by explaining the word rov differently over here. You can see that in Rashi. Rashi says over here, and batil berov, klomar, berov midato bigidulav rabim. Rov doesn't mean the classic sense of rov, a majority, but rov over here means the word ribui, from the lot of, excess amounts of. So what he's saying is that there's going to be, the gidulim are going to be so many, or so much heter, versus the other item there, or it's going to be overwhelmed by the heter, and that's what it means, ubatli berov, that the excess amounts of heter will take out the isur, or again, that would be at 100 to 1. So he leaves in the girsa, but explains the word rov to mean something else. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, maybe that's not a problem here. Amrei b'truma b'yad kohen askinan. Let us say we're talking about truma in the hands of the kohen. Delo matzil michalala, because he won't be able to do hatara on it. Since he won't do Hatara on it, the way the Rosh explains it, why can't he do Hatara over here? Is because, Barav Rabbi Lezer mitzperish, delo matzi the mitzalala, shelo karala hu, shem truma. He's not the one who made it into truma, so he can't be the one who's matir the nether to make it ois truma. So there's no ability, once it's in the hand of the Kohen, to reverse what was done with the truma. But then he says, the Rosh says, mashma, to Kohen koi, that based on the Rabbi Lezer mitz, that means that it's talking about the Kohen himself. Well, Yisrael, she frits, if the Yisrael separated out, Matzi Michalala, he would be able to be Matir or reverse the Truma that he took off. Sarech Lamar, the Perusho. Da'afa Gav Yechola Yisrael Lachachzira Lechulin. Even though the Yisrael could reverse it back to Chulin, Havale Davar She'ein Lo Matirin. It's still considered to be something that's not a Davar She'ish Lo Matirin. Delo Shliach Klal She'ishalel Alei. Because it's not common that he would do that. Ella Kolzman She'biyad Yisrael. The only time that he would reverse the neder or the commitment to give the truma is when he still has it in his possession. Zimna delet late vualechol, because he has nothing to eat. And now he's stuck with his truma here, so he wants to reverse it so he has something to eat over here. Umichalala, umitaken lav achila. And he mafrish the trumot from whatever he needs to eat, and then he eats it. So when it's in his possession, you can assume that he will utilize the ability to reverse the truma. But when it's not in his possession, the possession of the kohen, even though he could reverse it, he was unlikely to reverse it because he has no purpose in reversing it. It doesn't do anything for him to reverse it. The Kohen can't reverse it because the Kohen didn't make it into Truma to be the one who reverses it. So that's the way the Rosh explains the Kohen over here. On the other hand, most of the Rishonim, you can see this in the Rashi, and you can see this in the Ran as well. Umeshani ha Truma b'Truma b'yad Kohen askinin, de'machar she'zacha b'Kohen lo matzil michalala inish. That Kinyan is the ultimate sealer of the fate of this item. That once a Kohen is given the possession of this item, you can no longer be matir what you did before. It left your possession. When it's in your possession, you have a right to decide that you want to reverse what you did. Once you granted it to someone else, you've given a kinyan to someone else, you no longer have that right to reverse it. And that's the way the majority of the Rishonim learn over here, that even the Yisrael, once he gives it over to the Kohen, has no right to reverse it. And since he has no right to reverse it, that's why it's a davar, she'en lo matirin. And since it's a davar, she'en lo matirin, that explains why it's batel berov or batel bemeya in the case of truma. The Gemara says that doesn't sound right because I halchi eima seifa. What are you going to do the latter half of that Mishnah? Im haita tehora timacher the Kohen. If it was tehora, then he sells it off to the Kohen. Well, why is he selling it to the Kohen if the Kohen already has it? If it's in the Kohen's hands, then you don't need to sell it to the Kohen. The fact that he's selling it to the Kohen is pretty good indication that it's in the hands of the Yisrael and not in the hands of the Kohen. So given that explanation that's in the hands of the Kohen seems implausible given the seifa of the Mishnah. Now the reason by tehora that you sell it to the Kohen is that it becomes dimua. Dimua is a mix of truma and chulin. So say for instance you add one sa'ah of truma and 50 sa'ah of chulin. So then it's not enough chulin to be mevatel the truma. So what do? The chulin you own. It's yours. The truma belongs to the Kohen. So what you do is you sell the 51 sa'ah to the Kohen, but you only charge him for 50. Because one sa'ah you are supposed to give to him anyway. So what you do is you sell him 51 sa'ah, including the osab, truma, and air that got mixed in, but you only charge him for 50. The truth is he won't get a great price for it because only a Kohen can buy it. It's dimua. But nevertheless, he can collect, at least on the 50 sa'ah, he can collect the lower price. On that one sa'ah, he'll give it gratis to the Kohen because it belongs to the Kohen. It's his truma. But the fact that we're telling the Yisrael what he should do and how he should do it means that it's still in his possession, not in the possession of the Kohen. Ella, now the Gemara gives the answer that the Ran gave for why Rabbi Yanai would not have an issue with this. It's a case where he inherited the truma from his maternal grandfather. His maternal grandfather was a Kohen. His mother was a Bat Kohen. His father is Yisrael, so he's Yisrael. But yet, he's an inheritor of his grandfather. And an inheritor of grandfather, he could inherit truma. And if he inherits the truma, then there's davar she'en lo matirin. Because he never made it into truma that he can reverse it. He's the equivalent of the Kohen who had receipt of it. Now, he's Yisrael, so he can't eat it, so he has to do something. Now he has to sell it off, or he has to do something with it, because he's not a Kohen. But the Gemara asks again, V'aktani Seifa, Timacher the Kohen, Chutz mi Dmei Oto Sa'ah. Doesn't the Seifa say that you sell it off to the Kohen, with the exception of that one Sa'ah of Truma? But that's not the case here. In our case, when you have Truma that you were Mafrish, and then it got mixed in with Chulin, then Enochanami, that Truma belongs to the Kohen, the remainder belongs to you. So you sell everything minus that one sa'ah to the Kohen. In this case, he owns the truma. The reason that he has the truma here is because he inherited it from his grandfather. He doesn't have the truma because he was mafrish truma and it really belongs to the Kohen. It doesn't belong to the Kohen, it belongs to him. So why should he have to sell it, accepting the value, that's EX, accepting the value of that sa'ah from the sale, it's his sa'ah. He should be able to sell the whole thing without getting compensation for all 51 sa'ah, not just for the 50 sa'ah, because that one sa'ah actually belongs to him, because he inherited it. So that can't be the explanation of this Mishnah. So now the Gemara backs away from trying to explain the Mishnah in a way that makes it a davar she'en lo matirin, but rather makes a fundamental distinction between nidarim and truma. Eleima, bishlam akonamot mitzvah li'chule alehen. There's a mitzvah to do atarat nidarim by a neder. Mishum de Rabbi Natan, because of what we saw back early in the Masechta, back on Daf Chof Bet, what Rabbi Natan says, that Rabbi Natan says that nidarim are not a good thing, and you should get away from them as fast as possible. Dama Rabbi Natan, kol noder, kilu bana bama. Anybody who takes a neder, it's as if he builds a mizbeach, bizman isra bamot, outside the mikdash to bring a korban. Vehame kaimo. Someone who keeps that neder, kilu maktir ale. It's as if he was makriva korban on that mizbeach. So not only is it bad enough that you took the nether, if you continue to keep the nether, it's even worse. And therefore you should be mad to the nether. It's a mitzvah to get rid of this nether. And therefore we say, go get it done. Do the petach nether. Do the charata. Do whatever you have to do to reverse this nether. And as Rashi and the Ran both say over here, Stephen says it's a mitzvah, command ichla layudami. So since it's a mitzvah, do it. Even though he hasn't done it yet, it's as if he did it. Command the Michelele dummy. It's as if he already asked and got the Atarat Nidareem done because of the fact that it's a mitzvah to do it. So we see it as if it's done already. Another, the Rosh explains it more from just a practical position, which is, he says, Hilkach nikra davar sheishu matirim distamayu umdim lishael. Because the stam, the overwhelming majority of nidarim, will end up being reversed, or going to write nidarim, because that's the mitzvah, and that's what you're supposed to do. So he just, not that he says that it's effectively or deemed as if you have done it already, like the Ran and Rashi say, but rather because that is the natural outcome, or the default outcome over here, we'll consider it as a davar sheish lo matirim, because the overwhelming majority of them will end up in this manner. So therefore, with regards to konamot, with regards to nidarim, it's a davar sheish lo matirim. And if you remember back in Daf Chav Bet, as the Ran explained, that when a person takes a neder, they think they're doing a mitzvah, and they're adding on to the mitzvah of the Torah, just like Hashem gave us mitzvah, we're doing more mitzvot. And he doesn't realize that sometimes, kolamosiv goreya, when you add on, you're actually subtracting or diminishing. Just like you think by a bama, when you bring a korban on a bama, look, I'm bringing korbanot to Hashem, I'm doing something for Hashem, but you're adding on, it's even better. It turns out to be a terrible aveira, because you're doing shkutei chutz, you're bringing something on a bama, when you're supposed to be bringing it in the mikdash. So just like by the bama, the person is misguided in thinking that this is something beneficial, and he goes in and builds a bama, which he thinks is positive, it turns out that it's terribly negative. And I'm a kaimo. And not only if you take the nether, which is bad, if you persist in the nether, it's even worse. It's as if you're makriven the bama. So too by nidarim. When you take a nether, you're extending the Torah's mitzvot by restricting other things on yourself or trying to create some sort of stimuli to help you do a mitzvah or something, to do something. And therefore, you think you're doing something positive. But in the end, it's really negative. And that's why he compares it to a bama. But because of that, there's a mitzvah lichulei. Again, we discussed much more extensively back there on Daf Chet, why the Gemara in some places seems to have a positive view of Nidarim versus on Chaf Bet, whereas a negative view of Nidarim, and how do we reconcile between those two Gemarot? But here, the Gemara clearly is Tofes, Rabbi Natan Shita from Daf Chaf Bet. On the hand, by Truma, my mitzvah lichulei Allah. Since when is there a mitzvah to undo the Truma? You might have a right to do it, you might be able to do it, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah to do it. So again, like Rashi and the Ran said, Kevan de lav mitzvah lo ate lichulei Allah. Rashi says, since it's not a mitzvah, he won't come around to doing the Sheilat Chacham here. So it's unlikely an outcome. That's similar to what the Rosh said before. Since the default will be not to undo it, and the likely outcome is that it will remain in place, it's not considered to be a davar sheish lo matirin. The Ran formulates it this way, Hilkach, Kevan shein heter ba me'atzmo. Since the heter doesn't happen by itself. And there's no compelling reason to do this. It's not considered to be a davar sheish lo matirin. Now we run into a little problem because we had, before we quoted a braita that gave us examples of davar sheish lo matirin. In those examples, we had hekdesh and maaser sheni. And hekdesh is exactly like chuma. Why is hekdesh like chuma? Because it's a commitment that you can unwind and you can reverse. That's why it's called davar sheish lo matirin. So the Ran says, from here we see that that's not the reason why Hekdesh is a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. The Hekdesh to come money el, but Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, the Hekdesh, Berka Bait, Askinan, Da Korchin, the Ptia, Koi. The reason it's considered a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin is because you can redeem it. And that's similar to Maaser Sheni. Now Maaser Sheni, you could take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there, that's why it's a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, but you also can redeem it. And if you parallel that with Hekdesh, when they're mentioned together, both Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh, you're allowed to redeem them. Since you're allowed to redeem them, they have a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. And that's why they're considered davar sheish matirin, but not because of the fact that you can be mashil on hekdesh. That's not the reason that it's considered to be a davar sheish lo matirin. Okay, gufa. Now we're going to go back to something Rabbi Yochanan said. Shazama Rabbi Yochanan. Litra bitzalim shetikna. If you have a litra bitzalim, which he already took off the Trumot Masrot from, vizara, and now he planted it. Mita seret lefi kula. You take off Trumot Masrot for the whole amount. Now what you see from here is clearly he believes that even though the Ikar is an Ikar of Heter, because the Ikar already had Trumot and Masrot that were taken off of it. And now when you replant the item, it grows Gidulim. So as far as the Gidulim are concerned, Ein Ochanami, the Gidulim are Chayav in Trumot and Masrot, at least if they're distinct from the Ikar. But they are the majority here. And what we see happens is that now it overrides the Ikar to the point where you have to take off Trumot and Masrot from the entirety of this item, including the Ikar that already had something that was taken off from it, already had Trumot and Masrot removed from it. What you see from here is that the Gidulim override the Heter, the Ikar, which did not require Trumot and Masrot. Yotiv Rabbo, V'kamer l'hashmaitito. Rabbah said over this member from Rabbi Yochanan, Amar le'Rav Chista. So Rav Chista asked the question that you're asking, Man sait l'cho ulu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbah. Who's going to listen to you and Rabbi Yochanan your Rebbe? Heter shebehen la'ichan alach. Where did the Heter disappear to? Your question, which is, okay, you already took off Trumot and Masrot from this. If it's a Davashel Heter, why isn't that remain, its status remain intact? And if its status remains intact, then you shouldn't have to take off Trumot and Masrot from the incremental growth over here, not from the items that already were picked, harvested, and had Trumot and Masrot taken off of it. So here Rav Chista is challenging Rabba's position and Rabbi Yochanan's position as well, that they believe that the Gidulim are able to override the Ikar and be Mevatel the Ikar. And Rav Chista says, since when? Why is that the case? And when he asks, Heter Shben and Hachan Alach, the Rosh over here says, the late Gidulim Mevatlin et Ikar. It's clear that Rav Chista believes that Gidulim cannot override the Ikar. So the way the Rosh posits the question over here is that Rav Chista is of the position that Gidulim don't override Ikar. And that's why he asks the question of Heter Lehechan Alach. And he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba's position, who seemingly think that the Gidulim can be Mevatel, the Ikar. But that means that the question of the Gemara or the question of Chista is only according to that one Deya, who believes that Gidulim are not Mevatel, the Ikar. Now, the Ran, on the other hand, thinks that the question is more broad. And he says the question is as such. Nira Beinai, Do'ochi Maksha. This is what he's asked. Afilu Tema Gidulim Shel Heter Mevatlim Ikar Shel Isur. Even if you believe that when it comes to Gidulim of Heter, they can override an Ikar of Isur, that's because when the Gidulim exceed the core item, when he eats it, then you don't taste the Tam of the Isur anymore. The Bittul is so great that it's really Batel. You have Heter and Isur over here. When they're mixed together and you eat it, all you taste is Heter. And since all you taste is Heter, there's no problem. That's why we would say Batel Barov or Batel Bet, whatever number it is that you need. And that's why when the Gidulim exceed the Ikar is as if it doesn't exist anymore. Hilkach, Afo Pisha Isur Bo Murah Betochol. Therefore, even though the Isur, the Ikar, is still mixed into it, V'lo Azle Alma Shori, and it didn't disappear, it's Mutar, because the taste, which is what you're after in terms of Achila, is all a taste of Heter. And since it's all a taste of Heter, the Ikar is no longer relevant. Aval Gabe Maser. When you're talking about Maser, Maser is a very exacting type of accounting. You have to take off 10% from whatever you have here that is Chayav in Trumot and Masrot. So Kevin Levi Cheshbona Tevel Chayavei Rachmona Lasure Hacha Maimit Aser Lefi Kula. Then why would you make an assumption of Bittul over here that the Ikar is Batel to the Gidulim? V'chi Heter V'shen Neichan Alach. The way the Rod phrases it, this question is according to everyone. Whether you believe that the Gidulim are Mevatel, the Ikar, or not Mevatel, the Ikar, it doesn't matter. Because that's with regards to Achila. That's Tarovet for Achila. By Tarovet Achila, the only thing we're concerned with is flavor, taste. And if the Heter is the taste, then you can talk about Bittul. Over here, when you're talking about Hafrashat, Trumot, and Masrot, it's a calculation. It's an accounting that you have to make. And when you make that accounting, and you're Mafrish, the Trumot and Masrot, you have to do it based on what you're chayavin in the Tevel. And you can do an exact accounting over here. It doesn't really matter that there was a Bittul Berov and that the Ikar is no longer tasted in this. It shouldn't be relevant. You should know I have 90% of new stuff, 10% of old stuff. And if the 10% is not chayav, then I only have to be mafrish Trumot and Masrot from the 90%. That's a very exact calculation. So Bittul should not be relevant over here. And that's the question that Rav Chista is posing to Rabbah. Again, different than the Rosh. The Rosh sees this as being a partisan type of question, which is only according to the one who says that Gidulim are not Mevatel the Ikar is the question. On the other hand, the Ran sees this as being a global question, which is even if you believe that Gidulim can be Mevatel the Ikar, that's only true when it comes to Tam or to Achila. That's not true when it comes to Hafashat Shumot Masrot, where it's a calculation. And the calculation should take into consideration what's Mutar and what is Asur. Amarle, the Rabba responds to Rav Chista says, Milo Tnan, de Kavata. Don't we have a Mishnah that does something similar? This is a Mishnah that we saw from Shvi'it in yesterday's daf, which is, Betzalim, Shiardu Alehem Gishamim, onions upon which rain fell, Vitzimchu, and they grew. Vimayu Alehem Shalem Shchorim, If their leaves are black, what we said yesterday, maybe dark green, asurim, then they are asurim because of the mix of shvi'it in the picture over here. Since they have peirot shvi'it mixed into them, they are asur. Again, we saw yesterday that that's not so simple because in general, shvi'it is not oser bekoshu, but the Balei HaTosafot we saw yesterday explained that it was a case where he did it b'yadayim. He picked them in the sixth year. And they were heter. Then he planted them again in Shvi'it. And if he does a maseh b'yadayim like that, either he's machshiv the growth in that case, and that's why it's not batel, or the maseh yadayim itself lends a hand to the fact that it's an Isur b'koshu, and he brought proofs to the fact that that is the case. So now we see that imayu alim shalem shkorim asurim. Horiku, on the other hand, if the leaves are a light green, or just a green, then they are mutar. We're talking about a case of shishit items that are then planted in the Shvi'it. And they grow during the Shvi'it. V'chish chorim, amai asurim. When the leaves are darker green or black, why are they asurim? Lema heter shven ha'yekan alach. Why don't you invoke your principle? Where did the heter go? Over here we're talking about a case where it was shishit is the ikar, and he planted the shishit stuff, and now the leaves are growing during the Shvi'it. And when the leaves are growing during the Shvi'it, why is it that the gidulim, which are asurim, override the ikar, which is heter? Your principle, Rav Chisda, is the heter shven ha'yekan alach. Why don't you ask that question on the Mishnah in Shvi'it? Tosafot says over here, on the top line of Tosafot, Af mash gidlu b'shishit, that when we say that the shchorim are asurim, that's even the stuff that grew during the shishit gets affected by it. The leaves that grew during the shishit, they're affected by the leaves that grew by the shvi'it, and you make them asur. On the other hand, the Ran over here says, when we say that the shchorim are mivatel, everything, he says, not only is it mevatel the leaf that grew during the shishit, it's mevatel the ikar. Sha'afa ikar etzmo mishtane derech delato. Because when you plant the ikar, when it grows, the ikar also is affected by the growth, and it's not the same form that it was before. So based on that, the Ran says that the Mishnah means to say that when the shvi'it, you have these items that grow during shvi'it, they're oser the growth of the leaves in the shishit, and they're oser the ikar. They're oser the ikar that grew during the shishit as well. On the other hand, Tosafot is very focused on the leaves. So the leaves that grew in the shishit will be made asur by the leaves that grow during the shvi'it. But the ikar will not be affected by this because it's a separate entity. So that's a difference here between the shita of the Ran and the Tosafot as to what the shchorim are making asur. But in either case, what you see is that the isur overrides the heter. And if the isur overrides the heter, why don't we ask the heter, the heichan alach? Amalei. Rav Chisda responds to Rabbo and says, Misavart al ikar ktani? You thought the Mishnah Shvi'it is talking about the ikar, that the ikar is overridden by the gidulim? Atosefet ketani. It's only talking about the excess part. That is what is asurin. I mean that whatever grows during the Shvi'it will be asur. Whatever grew before the Shvi'it will be heter. So Rav Chisda responds and says that we're not talking about the whole item here. We're talking about just the tosefet. Whatever grew during Shvi'it, that which grew during Shvi'it is asur. That which grew beforehand is mutar. And as the Rosh notes over here, Hayan ikara ikar. If we knew where the ikar was, ben otosefet, and what was the additional items, hayan mutar. We could segregate what was mutar and what was asur. Vinit arvu be'acherim. The real naftamina comes about, not when these two items are together, because it's hard to distinguish between the ikar and the tosefet, but rather when they fall into another item. Ein tzarich levatel ela tosefet. Then, we don't have to be mevatel 100% of what fell in, but only the percentage of tosefet that is associated with the item that fell in. And that'll be a big nafka mina in terms of the tosefet being asur and the ikar being heter. So even though in terms of their tarovet, you may not be able to do anything with the object itself, but if it falls into something else, in terms of bitul, then it will become a pro rata bitul, and you won't need as much to be mevatel the tosefet.
Yochi.
Mar says, that's the case. My ata Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lemeimar. What is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel coming to say? The Tanya, they have a braita. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, hagadel b'chiyuv chayav. Whatever grows in the chiyuv is chayav. Hagadel b'pator, pator. And whatever grew when it was pator is pator. So now, this is somewhat difficult because we have a braita that quotes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and there's no context given to where this is said. The implications of the Gemara are that this braita references the Mishnah. It's a braita on our Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is commenting on our Mishnah. And in commenting on our Mishnah, he says that a gadel b'chiyuv is chayav, and a gadel b'patur is patur. Similar to what Rav Chisda is now trying to suggest, the Tanakhama is saying in our Mishnah from Shvit, which is, whatever grew during the Shvit is asur, whatever grew during the Shishit is mutar. But if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is coming with a braita to argue on our Mishnah, why is he arguing our Mishnah? The Tanakhama actually says the exact same thing. This is what the Gemara says, Tanakhama, Namehochi Amar. So that's exactly what the Tanakhama says as well. The problem with this is, and the Rosh raises this question, he says is that, what does Chiyuv and Patur have anything to do with Shvi'it? When you're talking about Shvi'it, there's two options. It's Asur or it's Mutar. Chayav and Patur are terminology that's used by Masrot, by Trumot, by items where you have an obligation to do something. By Shvi'it, when you're talking about Chayav and Patur, it makes no sense. It should be Asur or Mutar. And therefore, the Rosh claims that this bright of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has nothing to do with our Mishnah. It's actually a different case. It's a case, Ilan Shemiksato made Aretz, half of a tree is in Eretz Yisrael, Umiksato made Chutzal Aretz, and half of it is in Chutzal Aretz. It's on the border. You have a tree that's on the border, half of it's in Eretz Yisrael, half of it's in Chutzal Aretz. The Gadel B'chiyuv Chayav, Ubepator Pator. And then that, Rabbi Shimon says, whatever grew in Eretz Yisrael is Chayav in Trumot Masrot. Whatever grew in Chutzal Aretz is Pator, made Trumot and Masrot. Now, there are many that disagree with the Rosh's position, majority of the Rishonim, and many question this position of the Rosh over here, that this Braita is not connected to our Mishnah, but this independent case. Nevertheless, nobody really answers the question that the Rosh raises of Chiyuv and Patur, which is Iser Ve'eter, which makes it very problematic in terms of saying that this Braita is qualifying or arguing on our Mishnah. So the Rosh, therefore, gives a different explanation, and he says that the reasoning over here is that the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has this opinion within growing items that you're able to divide them up and say half the item is Chayav and half the item is Patur. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the author of that position. If he's the author of that position, then why all of a sudden here do we have a Mishnah with someone else saying this? According to the explanation of Chisda, it should have been Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The attribution of this Mishnah should have been Rabbi Shimon Gamliel because he's the only one we know that says such a thing. The only one in all of the Tanaim that says that. And therefore, all cases like that should be attributed to him. The fact that our Mishnah is not attributed to him shows you that it must not be a case like that. That's how the Rosh explains the nature of the question of the Gemara over here. Others explain that the question is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is a bright on our Mishnah, and seemingly he's arguing on our Mishnah and saying that half is heter, half is, and will depend on the split of the item. Then how could you claim that the Tanakhama is saying the same thing if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is arguing on that position? So my answer is Kula Matanitin Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Tani Lo. The entire Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And therefore there's no problem here because the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. According to the Rosh, the answer of the Gemara over here is Ein Ochanami, that there's only one author of this position, and Ein Ochanami, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the author of our Mishnah. According to the others, the Braita, which is brought on the Mishnah, is not coming to argue on the Mishnah, but rather to give us more information about the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is really authored by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Vad kan lo shmaitli the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel delo katarach." That's only true what we hear this type of position within Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in a case where he was not toreach. Heichad the katarach batel beruba. The other hand, where he does make a tircha, it is batel berov. Now, here, it's not clear in the Gemara as to who is the author of this position or this statement in the Gemara. The way that the Balei HaTosafot suggests is, Kach hishiv lo Rabbo. This is what Rabbo says back to Rav Chisda. It's really, Daha de poka v'kamar, der gmliel nami damar, gidlo betur, patur, mudeh hacha belitra batzal, shetikna v'zara, sheheter bo poka. That even though Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who over there differentiates between chiyuv and patur and doesn't let one override the other, nevertheless, Rabba says to Rav Chisda, he'll still agree with my position by Batzal. The reason being, because there's a difference. In the case of the trees, half in Chutz La'aretz, half in Eretz Yisrael, whatever happens on the trees happens memela, happens by itself without any intervention. On the other hand, over here, when we're talking about the Truma, where he intervenes and he plants the Truma, over there, even Rav Shimon Gamliel will agree that there is Bitul in that instance. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot suggests to learn it. Rashi thinks over here that Vad Kalam Shemaitle is the Kamahadar Gemara. The Gemara is writing this, not any individual Rabbah Rav Chista, but rather the Gemara itself is coming to qualify Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion and to limit it to a case of Katarach. The Rosh, continuing in his position, that the question here is about the authorship or unique authorship of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The answer of this part of the Gemara is Shinuya Achrina Kamishane. This is an alternate answer to the question that we had before about the Mishnah in Shvit. So one answer about the Mishnah in Shvit is it's authored by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And Kula Matnitan is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. An alternate answer is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself, who is this lone opinion who says that when it's half chayav and half patur, you can have any plant or a tzemach have those properties of half chayav and half patur. Therefore, he'd be the author of the position here. That's not necessarily true. Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position might be limited to things where the lo tarach, where he didn't get involved, he didn't exert any intervention over the situation or get involved in the situation in any way. About Betzalim, the tarach lezaran, chashu chachamim al tircho, usir lei da'achsvaro. They worried about his tircha, and therefore they forced him to take off Trumot HaMasrot from the whole item. So going to the Rosh, there's an alternate answer which says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't necessarily have to be the author of the case of Betzalim, and he could actually coexist with that position. And this alternate answer says that the case of Betzalim is not really relevant to the cases of normal bitul or separation between gidulin and ikarin because it has this unique status of being betarachba. The Ran takes a shita that's similar to the Tosafot over here and says that the statement over here, Rav, is kolmar afagav dolo matzina lamaiti seyata mihach mikomalom go kashuli. Even though we couldn't bring any proof from this case, nevertheless, it's not a question on my position. Even though we can't bring a proof in this case that the Heter Lehechan Halach, because now you're saying it's authored by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, nevertheless, Rabbi says to Rav Chista, you still can't bring that as a proof against my position of Betzalim, because my case of Betzalim is different from the case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a place where Shelo Tarach, and that's why each item remains separate. My case by the Betzalim is a case where he was Toreach, and since he was Toreach, there's a reason to believe that the Gidulin can be Mevatel, the Ikar. Now, the Ran asks on his own shita that he mentioned at the beginning of this sugya, which is the Ran believes that the question of bitul is integrally tied to the question of whether the gidulim are heter. The Ran said that if the gidulim are heter, then they, by definition, they'd be mevatel the ikar. Now, then, if the gidulim are of isur, because they are derivative of the ikar, which was of isur, then they would not be mevatel it. But the real question is, are the gidulim shall heter or the gidulim shall isur? Now, all of a sudden, we have an opinion here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, which says that the item has heter and isur, and despite the fact that the gidulim are heter, they're not mevatel the ikar. So the Ran says over here, velo tikshuli amai dechtiv nilel berei shmaitin. Don't ask me a type of question on what I said earlier. Svirlan dien gidulim ki ikar, shita de mevatelin oto, which I said earlier, that if the gidulim are not exactly like the ikar, then they are not mevatel it. But he says over here, the hacha and utaima. The reason it works over here, mishum dehetero lo botil. It's because heter can't be batel. Shaisur darkolit batel v'lo heter. The Ran says something very interesting here, which is that bitul is a din with regards to isur. You can eliminate an isur through bitul. What you can't eliminate through bitul is heter. And so therefore over here, even though here it's a mixture of heter and isur, and the heter stands independent of the isur, and that should have led to a bitul, in our case over here, where the isur is coming to exceed the heter, we don't talk about bitul. We don't talk about the isur overriding the heter because it doesn't have the power. Bitul is a terminology that's only used by isur, not to eliminate the isur. It's not used to eliminate heter. Shai isur darkol eat batel v'lo heter. Ve'od, delo tarach livtule ikar, ele gidulin melein bau. He's not toreach over here to be mvatel the ikar, but the case here is that the gidulim came up by themselves. And since they came up by themselves, there's more reason to believe that they are not batel. So therefore, now, based on this, if I looked at the case of the gishamim, the case of the rain, in the case of the rain, lo katarach. He didn't put any investment in here. It was the rain that came down, that rained on these items, and that would cause them to grow more. If that's the case, then I'll say that a gadel b'chiyuv is chayav, and a gadel b'patur is patur. On the other hand, by the case of the bitzalim, In the case that Rabbi Yochanan quoted before of Alitra Bitzalim Shetikna Vizara Mitaseret Lefi Kula, over there we do say that the Gidulim override the Ikar Shel Heter, because over there, Katarach, he planted the item. He took it and then replanted it in the ground. And when he replants it into the ground, that's what generates the bitor, that's what generates the ability of the Gidulim to override the Ikar. And according to the Rosh, what you said before, that Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is this unique opinion, and anytime we have such a Mishnah, he should have the attribution of authorship. What the Gemara is saying is that the author of this Mishnah is different than that of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. The Katarach makes a differentiation within his opinion. His opinion is limited to cases where he's Katarach. Cases where he's Lotarach, he doesn't have that opinion. Now the Gemara says, V'ocheicha de Katarach batel beruba. Does Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel really believe that anytime you do the Tircha, that it's batel berov? Alright, litra maser tevel. We have a litra of maser, that is tevel, the Katarach. Over there he's planting it. Viktani, and we saw in yesterday's daf, otad litra maser aleha mimakom acher. That one litra you have to take out masur from somewhere else. Lefi cheshbon, according to the measurement. So you see by that case in the Mishnah, that even though he's Katarach, he planted it in the ground. Nevertheless, when he harvests it, he has to separate out the Trumot of Masrot separately from the new growth versus the Ikar that was there before. But that shows you that the new growth is not Mivatel, the Ikar. My answer is Shiny Gabi Maser, Damakra, Ser, Taser. The Maser, there's a different din over here because it says Aser, Taser. And that is Vetera Zariinche, Isura Lo Zariinche. People plant things that are Heter. They don't plant things that are Asur. Now, the Rishonim explain over here, what does that mean that Aser Taser, how does that help you? So the way that Rosh explains it, Shetarich Laser at Koma Shegadal Basadeh, he has to take off Masrof whenever they're grown in this field. He's not allowed to take a deduction for Trumot Masrof that were taken off this item already when he goes to replant it. When he replants it, it hits a reset button, and then it becomes Chayav in Trumot Masrof again. Hadra Litivlat becomes Tevil once again. Vidavka mitukenet. That's only true when you plant something that have het there. Shederach Adam Lizra. Avalisura. But you're talking about something that's a sur, the low zari inche that people in general do not plant. Lo hadra litivla. Therefore, when you do plant it, it doesn't go back to its original Tevel status. So what the Rosh is saying is that the chiyuv of Trumot Masrot is limited to cases where you plant seeds of het there. Because if you plant seeds of heter, that's what the pasuk in the Torah is talking about. And you plant something of heter, then you have an obligation to remove Trumot Masrot again from that item, or to make it comes tevel again, and you have to remove Trumot Masrot. On the other hand, if it's something of isur, and then you try to plant the isur, then sur will be patur, and not require Trumot Masrot to be taken off of it, because of the fact that it's isur that's being planted. And the pasuk vaser taser does not govern situations when you're planting isur. So therefore, by Gabi the Maser, when you pick the litra that you had already taken off Trumot Masrot from, and then you have the new Gidulim that grew, the reason that you take off Trumot Masrot separately from the Gidulim than you do from the Ikar, is because the litra that you put into the ground was Dover Asura, it was Tevel, which you're not allowed to plant. As Rashi says, so that he doesn't benefit from doing that. Rashi says, the reason that we make him pay Trumot Masrot on the Ikar, even though it's Isur that was planted and it should not be Chayav, is to penalize him so that he doesn't benefit from not taking off Trumot Masrot. If we would say that he's Patur now, then he actually would benefit from planting in the ground and not having to take off Trumot Masrot. So that's simply a penalty. And that's why you have to take off Trumot Masrot separately from the core, the Ikar, versus taking it off from the Gidulim. Similar to what the Rosh says over here, that the Ikar only turns into Davar that requires Trumot Masrot to be taken off of it when it's planted beheter. But it's planted beisur, it doesn't require that. And similarly, the Ran says, Klomar, Rachmana Amar, Da'av Zaracha Shizarata, Shum Etukan Kvar. When you plant something, even though it had Trumot Masrot taken off of it, Tachzor V'taser, you have to take off Masrot again when you harvest it again. The Botele Ikar the Gabe Gidulin, Echtiv Zaracha. The Ikar always gets wiped out with the Gidulin in that case. Mashba, Dafka the Hetera. Only things that have heter, the hachi or chayu, the inche. That's the normal way people act. But the hetera, the amar, gidulim evatlim ikar. In the case of heter, that's the case where the gidulim override the ikar. Aval Isura lav Zaracha Mikre. And then when it's something of Isur, that's not called Zaracha. Hilkach mi Zaracha mashma de Isura lo ati gidulim evatim ikar. When you have Isura over there, the gidulim can't come and wipe out the ikar. And the Ran writes about all of these explanations. But the Ran takes issue with that. Vakasha. That means that this whole discussion here is about something where you have a bulb that grows. Umidorait. In the Torah, there's no such case. Because in the Torah, Trumot Masrot are only taken off Doraita from Dagan. And Dagan is an item where Zaro Kala. And therefore, this whole issue of Ain Zaro Kala, and whether the Gidulim are Mvatel or not Mvatel, all turns out to be, at least on a Torah level, a moot discussion. And therefore, the Ran believes over here that this quoting of the Pasuk is a Smachta Be'alma. It's only an Asmachta. It's not a Dindoraita, but a Smachta Be'alma. And it's trying to explain to us why things are Mivatel or not Mivatel each other. And this is the Ran L'shitato. The truth is that if somebody plants Heter and the Gidulim are Isur, it makes sense that the Gidulim are Isur override it. Shum Dabalei Tarovet Heter Isur, because they are contrasting items. And contrasting items are the ability to be Mivatel. So when the Gidulim of Isur come along, they override the Ikar of Heter. Aval Isura b'Isura. We're talking about two different things, one of Isur and another Isur. Kilitra Maser Tevel b'Gidulim, that the case of the Tevo that you put of Maser, that you put into the ground and planted it, and now you've Gidulim that come up that are also of Isur, Tav Isura, Ibishvi'it, Mishum Isur Shvi'it, if it comes out on Shvi'it because of the Isur Shvi'it, Ibishar Shnei Shavu Mishum Tevel. For another year is because of the Tevel. Ainu b'din shetela b'tela. Then it certainly should be batel. Ainu b'din shetela b'tela. It shouldn't be batel. Apapi she'ena yisurim shavim. Even though the yisurim are different yisurim, but they're both of yisur. And therefore they're unable to be mevatel each other. Makom makom yisur be yisur hu. Udvarim she'en shavim zel zel gamrei. Ein echad mechad mevatel et chaviro. And when things are similar, the Ran L'shitato says there's no bitul over here. Kein nira li. He says that's the way that I think to explain this Gemara. And I'm still not settled with this. I still need some instruction. I need some help in how to get this clear. Okay, now the Gemara moves on. Gufa, another case that we brought. Batzal shel chuma shinat o. Case of a batzal shel chuma that was planted. Verabu gidulav al ikaro mutar. And then the gidulim exceed the item that was planted. They become mutar. Mutar here again, like the Ran said earlier, is not mutar the gamre, but mutar means it's tevel and not chuma. L'mamro. From this you would conclude that Gulei Heter Malina Taisur. The Gidulim of Heter are able to override the Ikar, which was an Ikar of Isur. Vatnan. Don't we have a Mishnah that says Gidulei Truma Truma? That something that goes out of Truma is considered Truma. And the reason that Gidulei Truma are considered to be Truma is a Takanat Chachamim to prevent Kohen from keeping around Truma, especially Truma Tmeya, in order to plant it so that he can be Meteheret or remove the problematic aspects of it. In order to prevent that, the Chachamim Institute at Gidulei Chuma are Chuma, and you get no benefit by planting it. Rabbi says, no, but Gidulei Gidulim Kamrinan. Oh, you made a mistake. Rabbi Hanina Tirta's statement is not about Gidulim, it's about Gidulei Gidulim. It's a double derivative. Something that grew out of the Chuma, and then you plant that which grew out of the Chuma, and then it grows something new. So that third generation is Mutar. Where it says, Hanami Tanina, that we also have in the Mishnah, which is Gidulei Gidulin, Chulin, that the third generation of Gidulim are Chulin. Where it says, Hakamash Malon, Dafilu B'davar Shein Zoro Kala. He turns and teaches that even in a case, even when the bulb is still intact, and you plant it, and then you plant the Gidulim, and the Gidulei Gidulin, that is Mutar in the third generation, even though Shein Zoro Kala. And the Rashbo asks over here, why is the Gemara playing around with this statement of Chanina b'Tirto? It seems obvious that first of all he's talking about a davar she'ein zaro kala because he mentioned batzal. And so then why isn't the Gemara going straight to the issue of davar she'ein zaro kala and is bouncing around with these other different possibilities of what he's speaking about? So the Ran brings the Rashpo, explains that we had a half of mina, you know, that when Rabbi Yonai said batzal, he didn't mean it literally. He meant it just as an example. And therefore, the din would have more broad application than simply davar she'ein zaro kala. In the end, the Gemara concludes that that's not the case. That's only about a case of ein zaro kala. And once we narrow it down to that, we still have a seeming problem from the Mishnah, which says explicitly when you have a davar she'ein zaro kala, that it's begidulei gidulim, it's asur. Where it says Vatnan. Don't we have Mishnah that says otherwise? Hatevel gidulav miturim mutarin. When it comes to tevel, that which is a derivative of it that goes out of it is mutar. Bitavar shezero kala. That's only if the item planted, the seed that's planted, disappears entirely. But davar shein zero kala. If it's an item that what you planted remains intact, like the bulbs or the potatoes that you put in the ground. Gidulei gidulim asurim. Not or gidulim asurim, but gidulei gidulim asurim. So that's not true. When it's a case of ein zero kala, the case when the item does not disappear if it's planted, then even a third generation, a two double derivative of the original item, that is gidulei gidulim, still would be asurim. So how are you claiming over here, according to Rabbi Chanina Tirtoa, that they are mutarim? Where it says, ribuya derabu gidulim al ikaro mutar. So what he comes along to teach us is that the gidulei gidulim of the batzal of truma, and those gidulim override the ikar, then it's mutar. So if the gidulei gidulim exceed the gidulim, then it becomes heter. And that's what the statement of Chanina Tirtoa says. The Mishnah that says that gidulei gidulim are asurim, that's when the gidulei gidulim are less than the gidul that they derived from, or the ikar which were they derived from. That is how Tosafot and the Rosh explain the Gemara over here, that if the gidulei gidulim exceed the gidulim, that they are heter, and they also made the ikar of gidulim into heter. On the other hand, Rashi over here says, v'rabu otan gidulim al ikaro mutar, that only the excess of gidulei gidulim above the ikar of gidul will be of heter. So the gidulei gidulim themselves will remain asur. The gidul, which is the ikar, will also be asur. It's only the amount or the growth that is above the level of the gidul or the ikar that was gidul that would be deemed to be heter in terms of gidulei gidulim. And that's how we'll reconcile between the statement here of Rabbi Chanina Tirtoa and the Mishnayot that either seem to make simple his statement or contradict his statement. Here we come up with a solution which says that he's speaking about gidulei gidulim exceeding the gidulim, then it's shel heter. And the Mishnah is talking about a case of gidulei gidulim that do not exceed the gidulim, and therefore they are asur. Kamash v'lon, for that's what we learned from that position of Rabbi Chanina Tirtoa. That we end the perek, hadron alach, anu der min hayorach.